Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 4th of July, recording at 9:35 p.m., and that's British summertime. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets, firm. China, the whole China group, doing very well, gains on the order of 1.5% or better. Australia, about 0.42% higher. Japan, 1% higher. The ASEAN markets, which I've been talking about daily in here, and not just in the highlights of the day, but pushing further through to new high ground, were Malaysia and also Indonesia, while the Philippines surged to a new high for the year. And Thailand was up over 4% on the election result, playing now staging a catch-up move. So very strong there. India was up slightly, but that's good, holding gains. Elsewhere, the European stock markets were very quiet here today, a little bit mixed. We're talking about changes of mostly under 0.25%, although the UK market, that was up nearly 0.5%. And the US is, of course, closed for the 4th of July holiday. Brazil firmer here today, and Canada and Mexico also showing some gains. Long-dated government bond futures prices up a fraction in Europe. The U.S. Treasury bond, 30-year Treasury bond futures are trading, although I'm sure it's a quiet day, up a fraction for the futures prices. Precious metals, not a bad day here. Platinum up 9.5 to 1726. Gold bullion getting close to the $1,500 level once again. It was up 9.3 at 1497. Silver 30 cents higher. Now, the LME metals were slightly firmer, a little firmer, except for tin, which is down the tiniest percentage. The crude and natural gas up a few pennies, but natural gas is interesting because it had been weak earlier on and closed near the highs of the day. U.S. dollar index getting quiet here, maybe a tad firmer overall against the resources currencies. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, the 4th of July holiday weekend makes activity somewhat quieter, but we've had a blistering stock market rally over the last couple of weeks, and that really does help to draw back some of the animal spirits that had gone away. And as I mentioned in my Friday big picture audio, that it occurred against a background of a sharply oversold condition. We had had mean reversions by Wall Street to the rising 200-day moving average, which approximates the medium-term trend. That was good news. The strength of the rallies that we've seen from Wall Street to Beijing to Mumbai suggests that this is more than just a temporary technical rally. Now, this is still a period that is often somewhat tricky seasonally, despite prospects for a technical rally, but it's been a good rally. And a point I've mentioned, and it's one worth repeating, is that people can worry about all sorts of things, and every imaginable opinion is out there. But what counts is that stock markets put in a low in June, And I'd give the upside the benefit of the doubt until or unless we see those June lows taken out. And I'm not aware of any market taking out those June lows. So really, it has been a global rally, and that is the support level to watch. Furthermore, if at least half of those gains for most indices, and especially the majors, are held during the first reaction and consolidation, whenever that occurs, followed by a, and we have a slight short-term overbought condition here, but I haven't seen any downward dynamics yet anywhere to check these rallies. But if, and my point is that if approximately half the gains or more are retained, as gains from the June low I'm referring to, if they're retained during a pause in consolidation followed by renewed strength, then we will have important evidence that we've got a medium-term low at the June trough. So, not a bad outlook here overall for stock markets. And you know, there's no escaping endless news on Greece, whether it's from rating agencies or banks or wherever else. But my point in this that I've been making recently is that, and that I've made over the decades, as veteran subscribers will recall, is that for a crisis to have an ongoing effect on sentiment beyond the region, in other words, Greece's crisis is going to remain a major preoccupation within Greece for God knows how long. But for the rest of the world, it has to be seen to be deteriorating. Now, you know, people like to use the expression, the apt expression, that's, well, they've just kicked the can further down the road, and that's certainly true. But that's not the same as a situation actually getting worse and causing people to say, oh my God, default, default, or the Greece is going to pull out of the ERM, or that hyperbolic rhetoric that we had that the ERM was about to collapse. So again, an absence of a negative against the background of an, or a diminishing of a negative against the background of an oversold condition is a positive in terms of market sentiment. And I like the action. I like the leadership from the ASEAN sector. Okay, what else to mention here? I think long-dated government bonds have paused. They get a little bit of consolidation, so you may see the yields dip back just a tiny bit and give up some of those strong gains. So the bond prices might just see a small little rally and before heading lower. Now, precious metals. I do want to talk about those because we have a very short-term oversold condition. If you look at the stochastic indicators, for instance, in the charts, you'll see that. It's a very short-term measure overall. But what I'm mindful of is that July has marked the seasonal underperformance lows for the last 2 years, I believe, for gold bullion. And we had a low on Friday for gold, and this firmness in here today. I find it interesting. We've gone a long way towards mean reversion to the rising 200-day moving average for gold bullion since the April high in bullion, so it doesn't look overextended anymore. Will it range sideways or lower to the MA sideways, and then the MA just rises up to it over the next few weeks while we're still in this period of seasonal underperformance? Quite possibly, and that would be a positive development. I think gold has seen enough of a pullback down here, and you know my view and Owen's view on these precious metals, and really it's the same thing goes for all commodities. They have a lot of choppy trading activity in these markets, and so we like to buy after setbacks rather than rallies. And I picked up a little bit of gold here today, gold futures. It's the first time I've certainly bought, certainly the first time I bought in a few months. And I haven't had any interest in doing it since that high in April. And I feel that I can do that because of the short-term oversold condition, because of the history here of getting a low very often in July, because of the overall relative performance that bullion has shown, because the stock market rally that we're seeing makes these markets probably less susceptible to further capitulation selling. I think possibly some of the people who had been buying gold as a disaster hedge, some of them may have moved away as the stock market rally developed, helping to bring the bullion down a little bit lower. But weigh it all up, and I don't think it's a big risk by any means. And with futures trading, timing is important. But a little bit of a pullback here. I have nibbled, and it's only a nibble, but I would nibble again if it came lower. And equally, if it were to bounce up $15-$20, I could quite easily imagine myself taking that short-term profit, as we're still in a ranging period overall. But I think we're on course for that stronger September and continuing through year-end. And if the consistency continues, I don't see why it shouldn't, into the first quarter of 2012. And it's during that period that I expect to build up, hope to build up a decent position here in precious metals. So a very interesting sector once again. And I think of those of you who are holding money in bullion funds, you may be feeling that not much has happened here recently, but you've ridden out most of the corrective phase, and the action is still good. I am pleased to say, a fantastic report on gold from Owens and my friend. And that's Ronald Peter Stoferle, who is a top analyst in our view, highly experienced analyst, writes wonderful reports. You can just tell that they're months and months in preparation. And this is probably the best gold report that I've ever read. It's certainly better than anything that I can recall. And it's some of us, and I think the most experienced people among you may feel that, well, there's not much left to learn about gold. But the graphs in this are so good, and Ronald Peter, or Ronnie, is, as he's known informally, is so good in his explanations and in his summaries. It's a balanced report too. It's not one of these wish list cheerleading things that we see too often of people competing for attention and somebody telling you when gold's going to go to 10,000 or that kind of thing. This is a well-grounded, well-researched, well-written, well-illustrated report, and it draws on a lot of data from other sources. It's just terrific. Terrific. I spent too much of today reading it, and too much time in terms of my actual writing time. It's so fascinating, and I haven't even completed it. It was over 85 pages, but it's great. And he's shows the pros and cons in here. But the biggest risk, as I've mentioned all along, is when we see real interest rates rising, and we have negative real interest rates here right now. There's a great graph towards the end depicting how gold has performed over the decades against various different interest rate structures. It's just terrific. So I think you'll like that. And anything else to mention here? No, I think that's pretty much it on this quiet day. So I'll just wind up with my usual finishing comment. All the best to all of you.